Clyde, a science fiction serial in 7 parts by Victor Pemberton, with Morris Denham and Roger Delgado. The Slide, Episode 4, Heartbeat. An explosion has rocked the school laboratory where Professor Gomez and his colleagues are conducting their experiments with the mud samples. But as night draws on, the impossible task of clearing the mud from Polymill Lane continues.
Who's in charge of your party, Corporal?
Squad Leader Johnson.
After we do something about that flow at the other end, we've got to try and lock the mud off before it reaches the farmhouse.
I'll tell him, Inspector, but we're having a bit of a job of these trees. Yeah? It's popping over like nine pins. It must be getting at the roots or something.
Well, do your best, Corporal.
Right.
And, Corp, you have my full authority to stop any of these photographers breaking the cordon, okay?
We'll do.
I'll bet you it stretches for over a quarter of a mile now. A great sea of mud.
Yeah.
It's even right the way around the back of my place. If they can't stop it now, they never will.
Now listen to me, Mr. Wilson. We'll get this muck cleared. We got to call our troops from every part of the country. We'll get it cleared.
Well, it wouldn't be so bad if you knew what you was fighting. If 1 minute is solid as rock, the next is like this. I tell you, it's an act of God.
Mr. Wilson, we're going to have to evacuate, you know. You and your wife.
Evacuate?
We don't risk you in that house much longer whilst all this is going on.
Nobody or nothing gets me out of my house, Inspector. Especially now the kids are gone. What me and Mary worked all our lives for.
Now, look, as fast as we clear one shovel of this mud, there's a whole heap to replace it. Sliding at a tremendous rate. Even you can see that. By morning, it's quite easy to be on your front doorstep.
We'll take our chance.
Ah, well, that's up to you, Mr. Wilson. But I want you to understand that if you and your wife decide to stay put under these circumstances, neither me nor anybody else will accept responsibility for what happens. I hope that's quite clear.
We stay put.
Very well, Mr. Wilson. Then from now on, the responsibility is entirely yours, and yours alone.
Glass! This container's been smashed to smithereens. From now on, we use nothing but steel. Reinforced double-layer steel. There we are.
Joseph, you'll have to tell them. You dare not keep this a minute longer. You'll have to tell them.
Now drink the rest of your brandy, Robert. You'll feel better.
I mean that if those mud samples do contain some kind of organic living matter, this could be the most phenomenal scientific discovery in geological history.
Well, we have to be quite certain first.
You saw it under the microscope, didn't you? Both of you.
I think we have to face the fact that application of heat to the mud is quite possibly an aid to multiplication.
Multiplication? You mean all those organic cells, they're increasing all the time?
Well, there can be no other explanation. We watched it under the microscope, Robert. It moved. Right in front of our very eyes, it moved.
And changed its shape, form, and color. The specimen I put under the scope was a solid, hard splinter. It hadn't been there for a couple of minutes when it started floating about, like slime from a snail.
An unidentified geological substance containing living organisms. Have either of you stopped to realize just how terrifying a prospect that is?
Robert, when I first saw the mud in Holly Mill Lane, I knew then that we were going to be up against something quite unique. Well, things now seem to fit into place. Why shouldn't those seismological disturbances in the English Channel have been caused by the mud's unsuccessful attempt to overflow onto the seabed? What was it to do?
Find another outlet.
Precisely. And isn't Redlow Town just a few miles from the Channel coastline?
You're quite right. The epicenter of those earth tremors was here.
But, Joseph, what about the other fissures, the overflows in the north of England and in the States?
Something must be disturbing the level of the mud, forcing it out from beneath.
No, I don't think so.
Then what do you think, Joseph?
The mud is organic. Why shouldn't it be capable of exercising its own force?
We can't keep this to ourselves. The people have to be warned. We can't let them go on thinking.
Let them think what they like, and for as long as they like, Robert. When we are absolutely sure, then we'll know what precautions to advise. But until then, I'll go down to Holly Mill Lane and see what I can find.
Joseph, for the first time in my life, I'm truly terrified.
My dear Robert, who isn't? Who isn't? Aye, aye, aye.
Joseph? Joseph, I must talk to you.
Well, Mrs. Deverell, what are you doing here? It's very late.
I had to get away from the house for a while. I felt so shut in. I saw your car lights through the garage door, so I...
But is anything wrong?
I couldn't sleep, that's all. So much on my mind.
Really?
I'm worried about Hugh. He's not eating. He keeps moping about the place. He won't even talk. All he's done today is to sit in a darkened room with the curtains drawn. It's so unlike him.
Well, he's tired. All this has been a great strain on him.
No. I know my husband, Joseph. He's a changed man.
How changed?
Well, jealous, for one thing. He's not been like that all the years we've been married. Oh, he tries to pretend he's not, but he is. He practically accused me of having an association with you. Did you know that?
Oh?
Ridiculous, isn't it?
I should have thought so, yes.
I wish you'd try and convince him otherwise. Life would be much easier. He'd listen to you.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Deverell, but I have no wish to become involved in domestic disagreements between you and your husband.
Professor Gomez, I have no intention of trying to involve you in anything, and that is not the reason why I came in here. I may not love my husband anymore, but I do still respect him.
I am very glad to hear that, Mrs. Deverell.
You're an extremely vain man, Joseph. Do you know that?
Do you think so?
All that scientific talk of yours doesn't fool anyone. You find it just as difficult to contain your personal feelings as any other man. It's taken my husband quite a few years to discover what his true feelings are. I just hope it won't take you as long.
Forgive me, Mrs. Deverell. I had not realized what an unhappy woman you are. I'm very sorry.
At the present moment, Professor, my only concern is for my husband's health. It's not your sympathy I want. It's your help.
Dr. Richards.
Good morning, Doctor. Sorry to wake you. It's Sister Roberts, Redlow General.
Yes, Sister.
I'm afraid we've had some trouble during the night, Doctor. We've lost your young lady, Miss Marshall.
You what?
When Nurse went in about half an hour ago, she found the room in a terrible state. Everything's been ripped to pieces.
Ripped to... What are you talking about, Sister?
Curtains, sheets, pillowcases. She'd even tipped a waste bin all over the floor. It's quite incredible.
Oh, my... do you know what's happened to her?
No idea, Doctor. She's left all her things behind, except her dress and a raincoat. Mm. She obviously just upped and walked out in the early hours. Anyway, I think you ought to come over and have a look for your...
Have you called Dr. Robeson yet?
Yes, and I've done what he said. I've called the police.
Police?
It's not only Miss Marshall we're worried about, Doctor. We've 7 other patients missing from the ward next door.
Oh, don't cook me breakfast, love, please. I don't feel a bit hungry. Come on, you've been doing quite enough bustling around. Sit down and talk to me for a few minutes.
Oh, leave me, Tug. I'm quite all right.
But I'm not hungry.
Leave me be.
Oh, come on, Mary.
No, Tug. What you doing? Let me be.
Now, come and sit down.
But, Tug...
I want to talk to you. What's so wrong about wanting to talk to me own wife? That's better.
Tug,
I... Mary, I want us to get away from here.
Away?
I mean, right away. From Holly Mill Lane, from Redlow.
Well,
from...
I like it here. It's our home. Why should we leave it?
Because it's different now. It's not like it used to be. Things have changed.
Are you scared, Tug?
Scared? No, I'm not scared of the mud. First I thought I was, but I'm not.
Then why leave?
Well, because we've reached a time in life when we ought to start thinking about doing different things. We could go down to Jack Percy in Torquay. You'd like that. Bit of sea air. Do you the world a good. You and his missus get on like a house on fire. Why, you two would soon solve all the world's problems.
No, Tug.
But, Mary, there's so much I want to do. So much I want both of us to do. We've got enough money saved to take us round the world and back if we want. What's the use in spending the rest of our days digging and ploughing?
You don't know how to face things, do you, Tug? You never could.
Mary, love, please, if you won't do it for yourself, do it for me. Please.
Oh, better make it sausages. The bacon's a bit streaky.
All right, then. Let's have some light.
Tug, no, what you doing? Leave those curtains closed.
I'm sick of the dark.
Stop
it,
Tug.
I'm sick of wandering around this place in the dark.
Please.
God gave us good light to feast our eyes on, so let's see it. And breathe God's air.
Tug, please, don't. I can't stand the light. It hurts my eyes.
But why, Mary, why?
Tug.
You've always loved the sunshine ever since you was a young girl. What's happened to you, Mary? What's happened?
Please, Tug.
Come on, love, let's go to church. We'll just about make it if we hurry.
No.
But You never miss church. It's one of the things you look forward to all week.
I don't want to go to no church. Not never again.
What?
They're all hypocrites. Every one of them. I despise them.
Mary.
Church. What does it mean? It's just crosses and stone and bells. It don't mean nothing. Nothing at all.
If I thought you meant that, Mary, my love, I'd have given up hope for you a long time ago. That I can assure you.
Luke, good morning.
I was very surprised not to see your husband in church this morning. Is he in London?
No, it's just that he couldn't spare the time. He's rather immersed in his work at the moment.
Oh, poor man, such a burden to carry. This business in Holly Mill Lane is rather taking its toll of us all, isn't it?
Yes.
I noticed there were fewer men at the service than there ever been before. Oh, dear, where's it all going to end? I mean, if
you'd excuse me, Mrs. Luke, I promise to get back.
Mrs. Devereux. I don't want to think I'm prying into your affairs, my dear. I know how worried you must be. But I have enough respect for your husband to offer him a friendly word of advice.
Yes.
I met Andrew Thompson just before the service, he and his wife. You know he's on the town council.
Of course.
Well, there's a lot of discontent at the town hall, Mrs. Devereux.
Discontent?
Apparently they've asked your husband 3 times to attend emergency council meetings to discuss the mud. 3 times in 2 days. Did you know that?
No, as a matter of fact, I didn't.
He's refused every time. Under the present circumstances, I would have thought the first duty of an MP is to keep in close contact with the local authorities. And why is she still refusing to call on the government for help?
Refusing?
And Mr. Thompson says your husband is quite adamant. He says the town is his responsibility. He says he won't call on the government until it's absolutely necessary. When's that going to be? I'd like to know. I do wish you'd speak to Mrs. Devereux.
I will, Mrs. Luke, and thank you.
I hate him to get involved in some nasty publicity, especially with all those newspaper persons hanging about. I mean, you know what they're like. Oh, she's gone.
My father used to bring me up here when I was a kid. Used to be quite a beauty spot. Well, you wouldn't think so to look at it now.
Oh, it's good to feel fresh air again, eh?
Yeah. You ought to get some rest, you know, Professor. Yeah. You've been out here most of the night. You'll crack up if you're not careful. Even I've had a couple of hours.
You know, Inspector, there's a lot to be admired in the English countryside. Everything is so much richer, so much fuller.
You mean was, don't you?
Was?
What happened to the grass?
Oh.
What's happened to the trees? Burning.
Withering.
Fading.
Inspector, what is that place over there? Can you see on the banks of the river on the other side of the town?
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah. Oh, that's the old windmill.
Oh.
And the use for years. Some old Dutch eccentric built it. Sort of a status symbol, I suppose. Why?
Well, it's just that the grass around it looks more faded than the grass on the other side of the river.
Yeah, that's true. Well, last time I was over there, the place was running wild with weeds and grass. Good place gone to pot, if you ask me. Look, Professor. I want to ask you a question. How much farther is all this going to go?
I wish I could tell you. I think you will agree that this is one of those freaks of nature that needs a lot of study before we can hope to understand it.
It's not easy to come to terms with something you're not used to. Something you don't expect.
As far as nature is concerned, Inspector, we should always be ready to expect. We have no right not to be prepared. My countrymen, they learned that a long time ago.
Yeah. Us poor old English are a bit like that, aren't we? We are more than capable of tackling most things, but we're hardly ever ready for it until after it's happened.
Who is?
Professor, I don't care for myself, of course, but the people round here want to know what's going on.
Inspector, you've got to realize that this disturbance, or whatever you like to call it, is a threat not only to you people down here, but perhaps to people all over the world.
Several people, sister, it's a terrifying thought. Have you questioned the others in the ward?
Nobody seems to know anything, Doctor. The whole business seems to have been carried out in absolute secrecy. That's why we can't help thinking that it must have been planned.
Oh, what sort of cases were they?
2 of them were quite elderly, but nearly all of them were road casualties or injuries from the earth tremor. Concussion, that sort of thing. Much the same as Miss Marshall. It's very suspicious. Oh, here we are, fourth floor.
This
This way, Doctor.
Oh, yes. And are the police going to start a search?
What else can they do? Legally, any one of them are entitled to walk out whenever they wish.
Of course.
The locker room at the other end of the ward had been broken into. They took all their own clothes. I wouldn't have worried quite so much, but after being in such close contact with your Miss Marshall for these last few days, I should say her giving us the slip like this is a serious pointer to her mental stability.
I know what you mean, sister. And I only hope you're wrong. And this thing you say about Janet being violent takes quite a lot of believing, you know. It's so completely unlike her.
Well, that may be as it is, Doctor. But before you take any notice of me, I suggest you look in here at her room.
Oh, my. This?
I'd hardly call this the work of a normally balanced young girl. Would you, Doctor?
Hugh? Hugh? Where are you? Oh, darling. It's a beautiful day outside. You should try and get some fresh air. Let's draw the curtain.
No!
It's so gloomy in here.
Just leave them, please. I'm perfectly all right if you'll just leave me alone.
Very well. You were missed in church today, Hugh. Nearly everybody said it wasn't the same without you sitting in your usual place. Even the vicar. He said he thought he'd never see a Sunday morning with that front pew empty. Mind you, you weren't the only one. There were hardly any men in church at all. I suppose most of them are down at Holly Mill Lane.
Hmm? Yes, I suppose they are.
Darling, after service, I saw Mrs. Luke.
Really?
Why haven't you been to any of the emergency meetings at the town hall?
I don't go to meetings at the town hall. They bore me.
Andrew Thompson says the council have asked you 3 times to attend, but you keep refusing. Why, Hugh?
I shouldn't concern yourself with Mr. Thompson's political opinions, my dear. I'm well accustomed to his agitations, both here and in London.
But he's a powerful man, Hugh. He's only got to say a word to those press people, and it'll be splashed across every page in the country.
So?
Is it true you're not going to ask the government to declare Redlow a distressed area?
Yes.
But why?
Everybody's always offering advice. Always knowing what the situation demands better than anyone else. Better than those who are qualified to know. When are people going to realize this is my town? I can do what I want with it.
It's their town, too. I want you to try and restore some of the respect these people used to have for you.
People don't interest me anymore, Anna. They made this world for themselves. It's up to them to try and live in it the best way they can.
If things get out of hand, if you let them, Hugh, they'll only blame one person. Is that what you want? Do you want to destroy yourself?
Let things take care of themselves, my dear. It's the only way.
Then there's nothing I can do for you anymore.
Anna, darling, where did you go last night?
Last night?
You left this house shortly before 11 o'clock last night. You did not return until 1:45 this morning.
I went to get some air.
Air?
Because I'm tired of sitting all day in a room with the curtains drawn. Tired of being scared to open my mouth. To breathe the same stale, stagnant air. As though I were being locked up.
I trust the learned Professor Gomez was able to offer a suitable alternative.
Will you get out of my way, please, Hugh?
You haven't changed a bit, have you, my dear? Just like the good old days, a long time ago, or is it?
What's wrong with you? Don't you trust me anymore?
You'll never change, Anna, will you? Not that I expect you to. It wouldn't be fair.
Hugh,
anyway,
please, you're hurting me.
I'm sure you'll find the South
please,
American
Hugh,
climate much more agreeable,
Hugh.
My dear. At least it'll be a novelty. Fascinating. But how on earth did you manage to record it, John?
It took me over 2 hours. Every time I put the lead wires in, they just burnt away. You've got to be so careful the way you handle the stuff.
Joseph, surely this proves beyond a shadow of doubt the mud's a living thing. The way it moves, this extraordinary sound.
It proves an awful lot, Robert. But what it doesn't prove is the exact nature and the extent.
I think that what we have here goes beyond the normal bounds of clear definition.
What do you mean, Joseph?
John, let's have that tape recorder on again. But this time, can you see if you can shape the background a little?
I don't know. I'll try. Why? What are you thinking?
I have a feeling that somewhere in the middle there's an indication. There's something staring us right in the eyes.
Okay, all set.
Yes. Yes, you see? I thought so.
What? Sounds exactly the same to me.
Listen carefully, Robert. You mean to tell me that you can't hear it?
I can. You mean that throbbing sound?
That's it. The same rhythmical pulsation. You hear it now, Robert?
But I can hear it, but I'm damned if I know what...
Yes, I know. I see what you mean now. It can't possibly be a heart. Oh, yes, Robert. Indeed, it possibly can. Every living creature must have a center. It has to.
Incredible.
Terrifying. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it.
You see now, Robert? It's alive. This monstrous thing is alive. That's why we haven't been able to control it. But there must be a center.
Well, then, for God's sake, man, let's find this center. Destroy it before it's too late. Before it breaks out anywhere else.
Find it? Yes, we will find it. When we know where and how many.
How many?
It's expanding. It's growing all the time. In just a few days, it's increased and developed beyond all known proportions. Are we to believe that just one center can be responsible for so much? No. This mud is creeping up on us. Slowly but surely, it is creeping up on us all.
Yeah, Tinky Winky, Tinky, Tinky Winky. Come along, Tinky darling. Doctor soon takes care of my little birdie. Oh, good evening, Doctor. I am sorry to bother you like this, especially on a Sunday evening.
Yes, Mrs. Luke, what is it?
It's Binky. I think she's suffering.
Hmm?
I got a bit worried when you think what's happening to all those poor animals and birds around.
Well, what's wrong with it?
She.
She
just won't eat her food, and she was very sick after the grapes.
Grapes?
Apart from her seed, I wouldn't dream of giving anything but the best white grapes.
All right, Mrs. Luke, leave her with me. I can't promise to do anything tonight. I've still got quite a few calls.
Thank you, Doctor. Pinky.
Good night, Mrs. Luke. A call in tomorrow.
Oh, Doctor.
Hmm?
I'm very glad to see Miss Marshall's back on her feet again. You must have been very worried.
I beg your pardon?
Yes, you're Miss Marshall. She's out of hospital, isn't she? She must be, because I saw her.
You saw Janet?
Yes.
Mrs. Luke, quickly now, please tell me where.
Near the old Dutch Bill by the river.
What time was this?
Oh, I'm not quite sure. A couple of hours ago, I suppose. I was on my way home from...
Did you speak? Was she all right?
Well, we didn't exactly speak. I waved. But I don't think she actually saw me. She was too busy talking to that other woman.
Which one?
That Mrs. Wilson from Holly Mill Lane. Nasty thing she is. Never could bear the woman.
And they both went towards the Dutch Mill?
No. Only Miss Marshall. Mrs. Wilson left her after a few minutes and made her way back towards the town.
Did you actually see where she went? I mean, Miss Marshall, did you go into the mill?
Dr. Richards, it is not my habit to go around snooping on people. I mean, what business is it of mine where the young lady goes? Yes, I think she did go into the mill as a matter of fact. I must say, I did think it was a bit funny.
Mrs. Luke, do you know the mill?
Well, yes, of course, don't you?
No. Will you take me there?
Well, I'll just
get my coat.
But what about Binky? Doctor, what about my Binky?
No, gentlemen, I'm sorry. I cannot agree.
But, Mr. Deverell, I can assure you Professor Gomez has proved to us without doubt the unparalleled dangers that exist in this mud.
But what dangers? At this stage, I think it would be inadvisable to inform you of the precise nature of our discoveries, Mr. Deverell.
Oh, really, Professor? Why is that?
I'm not prepared to say anything further than that.
We don't want to start a panic, that's why. But we must have your full cooperation, Mr. Deverell. We need more men, more equipment, to put an immediate halt to the overflows, both in Holly Mill Lane and the Caves.
That can't be done, I'm afraid.
But for heaven's sake, sir, why not? The government should be informed immediately of the gravity of the situation. Declare Redlow and surroundings a disaster area.
This is a local matter. It does not concern the government.
But it's no longer just a local matter. This is now a national emergency. We refuse to accept the responsibility for not stopping a menace which could threaten the very foundations of this town, and perhaps a lot more.
Nobody's asking you to accept responsibility for anything, Professor. I merely ask you to reduce your measure of alarm.
Alarm? Mr. Deverell, you amaze me.
Mr. Deverell, we have found the mud contains living organisms.
Oh? Really? Do you understand the significance of that, sir? Do you understand that we're going to have to face an enemy that science has never before encountered?
Science was created by the people for the people, Professor. I find your theory preposterous.
It is not a theory, sir. It is fact. Oh, for heaven's sake, Joseph, tell him.
I don't think that's at all necessary, Robert. I'm sure Mr. Deverell is more than aware of his responsibilities, especially towards his own countrymen.
I leave my countrymen to make their own decisions, Professor Gomez. I'm sure a man of your background will find that rather difficult to comprehend.
I take it you are referring to my political life.
Certainly.
When I first read about you, Mr. Deverell, I was still a young man at university. Oh, I used to read your speeches with great interest. You were something of a hero amongst our older generation.
I'm flattered.
But believe me, it did not need a very high standard of education to understand what sort of a person you really were. Oh, not that you didn't mean every word you ever said. It's just that it's not easy to admit how dishonest one can be. Not only to others, but to oneself. I'm afraid that is the hardest part of all. Unfortunately, you never did admit it, did you, Mr. Deverell? And you still haven't. Goodbye, Professor Gomez.
Have you any idea what you've just done?
Yes. I think I have. The man was becoming an increasing bore. His departure seems just about the most satisfactory compromise I can think of.
I hope you're wrong, Mr. Deverell. For the sake of yourself and all of us, I hope you're wrong.
Can you see anything?
No. Looks as though this old mill's full of junk. And cobwebs. Well, let's have a look inside.
Smells of old rope and dead fish.
Janet! Janet, darling! Are you in here?
She must be out of her mind if she is.
How many floors are there? Can you remember?
Three, I believe. The old fellow who used to own the place lived on the top floor. Mind you,
shh!
What is it?
I thought I heard something.
I'm not at all scared, you know. I don't believe in ghosts.
Janet, is that you? No.
Perhaps she went back to the farmhouse. We should have checked with Mrs. Wilson first. Oh!
There it is again. Is there another floor down below?
No. Only the landing stage. It was only big enough to take a couple of small rowing boats. Should we look down there, do you think?
How do we get down?
There's a trap door just on the side of your feet.
What? This?
Yes, now, do be careful, Doctor. I shouldn't think anyone's been down there for years. The steps must be dangerous.
Janet! Janet! Damn.
What's the matter?
The bulb in your torch is gone. Do you have any match? No, it's all right. I've got some. Now, be careful, Mrs. Moody. Very slippery on these steps.
What a dreadful smell. Everything's a stain. The swimming pool pulled this place down the better. I've always said these buildings are so unsightly, especially along the edge of the... Doctor!
Hmm?
Doctor! The corner of the side! Look!
Where? Oh, my... Janet! Get away from there! Get away!
That was episode 4 of The Slide by Victor Pemberton. Maurice Denham as Hugh Deverell, MP, and Roger Delgado as Joseph Gomez. The part of Professor Landers was played by Rolf Lefevre, Dr. Ken Richards by David Spencer, Anna Deverell by Marion Matthey, and Professor Lippert by Alan McClelland. Inspector Baxter, Jeffrey Matthews, RAF Corporal, Anthony Hall, Todd Wilson, Stephen Jack, Nursing Sister, Eva Haddon, Mrs. Wilson, Miriam Margulies, Mrs. Luke, Noel Hood. Other parts were played by members of the BBC Drama Repertory Company. Special sound was by the BBC Radiophonic Workshop, and the recorded production was by John Tideman.